If you would open your Bibles, please, to Ruth chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse number 8 today and read through verse 18, finish Ruth 3. And I'm not really sure if Ruth 4 next week, there's only four chapters, so we will be coming to a finish line here with Ruth, but I don't know if that's next week or the week after. The Lord knows. But this week, now sometimes I really hate to ever say, like, this is a favorite Bible verse, because it's like, they're all wonderful, you know, or this is a great passage or a wonderful chapter, because they're all wonderful. But this is getting to a joyful part here in Ruth, and there's so much joy in all of it, if you know what God is picturing in it. But it's really neat, because we see Boaz a lot here, and the relationship here between he and Ruth, and Boaz, the Redeemer. And so it's really exciting. So today we're going to look at, again, starting in verse 8, and I just want to give a little context. Last week we looked at Ruth going to Naomi, and Naomi saying for her to go to Boaz, and that was appropriate. Naomi being a mother-in-law, kind of a parent, seeing maybe the possibility of a marriage there, and saying for her to go to the threshing floor. And so that's where we find Ruth and Boaz today. And last week we talked about how, in preparation, that Ruth was properly prepared, that she was washed and cleansed. And we talked about us coming to Christ, that we are washed by the blood of Christ, and we are cleansed by the blood of Christ, but also the Word of God washing us as well. And we also talked about how, in the text here, how she was wearing perfume. She was anointed to smell fragrant, and how we are anointed by the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit in us makes our lives a fragrant offering to the Lord Jesus Christ, and how she was clothed. Her mother-in-law said, "Wear your best clothes." So she probably wearing work clothes, maybe even still wearing clothes of mourning, and her mother-in-law saying, "Listen, you need to wear something that's more appropriate for your prospective groom. You need to wear some clothes of joy." And we talked about how the Lord, you know, when we're redeemed, He takes away our ashes, you know, and He fits us with garments of joy when we're redeemed, and just how it's proper, you know, even though we go through times of hardship and difficulty, for us to have a joy, to be clothed with joy, because we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. And so we give up our grave clothes when we come to Christ, and we put on our grace clothes. So just a little context. We'll go back to verse 7 here as we start. Verse 7 says, "When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down." So we see here Ruth uncovering the feet. And I believe really this action was intended just to very gently and respectfully get Boaz's attention, that he would wake up and they could have a conversation, and she could present herself to him. And by placing herself at the feet of Boaz, we see that she's entrusting herself to him. She's saying, "I desire you as a husband. I'm available to be redeemed by you, to be your wife." And we talked about how that's how we come to Jesus, that we come and place ourselves empty-handed before Jesus, that we are submitted to Him, surrendered to Him, making ourselves available for redemption, and how He redeems us. You know, I love the relationship that I have with Jesus. He doesn't really expect a lot other than for me to come to Him and trust Him. You know, it's wonderful how He just invites us to come and sit at His feet in faith. And so we also talked about last week how Ruth came with a heart of obedience, that she came ready to listen when she came, not just to speak, but to listen and to hear what Boaz had to say, and then to do what Boaz would say, and how we need to have that same willingness when we come in faith to Jesus, and we draw in prayer close to Jesus and come to the Word and looking to hear from Jesus. We need to come with obedient hearts and faithful hearts, and that we're ready to hear from Him. Because He's worthy of that. You know, our Redeemer is full of love and wisdom and righteousness and mercy and justice and goodness. And so we should come with a heart that is ready to hear from him and a heart that's ready to obey what he has to say, because he's going to tell us what glorifies him. He's going to tell us what is best for us as well. And so today we're going to see in the text here the response of the Redeemer. The response of the Redeemer. And this is Boaz's response to his bride, to Ruth. But this pictures the Lord's response to us. When we come to Christ and we are seeking to draw near an intimate relationship with him, we see his response. Verse 8 says, in the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. I'm reading from the NIV this morning. You may have a different translation that has something similar. But in the Hebrew, the text literally says that he trembled, or he shivered. That's a literal translation, a good English translation of that. He shivered. And, you know, if you have a blanket on at night and the temperature's turned down in your house like it is at my house, because that's how my wife sleeps best with really cold temperatures, so we turn the heat down, and we have a lot of blankets. But if you kick the blankets off, you know, you wake up and you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe how cold it is in here. And that's really what's going on here. Some of the translations, because he shivered or trembled, interpret that as he was afraid, but there's really nothing in the Hebrew that implies that he was startled or shocked or afraid. I think he was just cold. And that's the intention of uncovering his feet. It's like, I'm gonna wake him up, because it's really cold. And there's a cool breeze in the evening. And so she uncovers his feet, and he wakes up. Verse 9, who are you? He asked. It's dark. He doesn't know. She said, I am your servant Ruth, she said. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer, or a kinsman redeemer of our family. The Lord bless you, my daughter, he replied. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. First thing that I would like us to see here in the text today is to recognize Boaz's acceptance here of Ruth. He didn't have to respond in the way that he was responding. I mean, he could have just said, I don't want anything to do with you. You're creeping me out here. Why are you here at my feet? You know, but he didn't. He was receptive of her, and he accepted her. And in the same manner, when we draw near to Christ in faith, when we come near to him in humble submission, he accepts us. He accepts us, and Christ accepts you. He accepts you. And you know, I believe that if we could realize the grace and the love of our Redeemer, even when we are just really messy and unworthy, which is pretty regularly, he has paid the price already for our redemption. He receives you, he accepts you based on what he did, because the judgment for all that mess and all that muck and mire and dirt, that has all been paid for. And he sees us now through his righteousness that he's given it. It's been imputed to us. And so sometimes we hesitate to draw near to Christ, and we think, you know, I have thought this, or I have done this, and we hold these judgments against ourselves. And he's saying, I've judged that already. My blood took care of that on the cross, and you are accepted. And so it is always the right time to draw near to Jesus. You are accepted, whether it's a good day or a bad day, no matter what anybody else is saying to you at work or in your family or anywhere else, you are accepted, and he invites you because of his sacrifice to come to him in faith, trusting not in yourself or anybody else's opinion or even your own opinion, but trusting in him. He accepts you. Christ accepts you. In Ephesians chapter 3, if you'd like to turn there in your Bible for a moment, Ephesians 3:14, I'd like to just share this with you, because this was Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, and I think this is a wonderful prayer for us today. Because our tendency is that when we're having a bad day and we're not really particularly faithful, that we shy away from drawing near to the Lord, and that's the opposite of what we need to do. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul said, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven or on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I prayed that for me and you this morning. What a wonderful prayer. Because His love and His mercy and His grace and what He did to redeem us is so much greater than anything that would hold me back from running to Him. It is out of incredible love for you and I that Christ Jesus made that payment for your sin so that you could be accepted. And you are accepted. And we need to stand upon that truth, that wonderful good news. You know, not only is the Son of God, our Redeemer, who paid the price to redeem us, but He is the only payment the Father would have accepted. There's no one else who could have done what Jesus did to save us. I don't know if you guys had a donut this morning from Dan's. They're wonderful. I don't know if are the gluten-free good too? They're not from Dan's. They're Cat's. They look good. But yeah, if you had any, they're wonderful from Dan's Bakery. But as you go into Dan's, if you're not familiar, so I'll give you a tip if you love the donuts and you're going to go later. On both doors, as you go into Dan's, there are signs that say, "We accept cash and check only, no credit cards." You cannot pay with a credit card. So you've got to have your checkbook or you've got to have cash if you go to Dan's Donuts. It's the only form of payment they accept. The only form of payment the Father was going to accept was Jesus, was the sacrifice that He made, and Jesus made that payment for you to be accepted. Only Jesus could redeem us. Only Jesus could make the payment. That's why He could say in John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." You are accepted because of what Jesus did. Peter, in the book of Acts, when he's testifying to the Sanhedrin in Acts 4, he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Only Jesus could redeem. He is your heavenly Redeemer. He is the reason you are accepted. Out of love for you and I, He invites us to receive that and to believe that and to come into this intimacy with Him and to never be afraid, to draw near to Him. Even when we are faithless, He is faithful. Even on your bad day, He is your Redeemer. And He is always inviting us to draw near to Him, to receive that and believe that and to be accepted as we are. Continuing in verse 11, "And now, my daughter, don't be afraid," Boaz said. "And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character." So Boaz gives this assurance to Ruth. You know, there in the darkness, he couldn't really see. They couldn't really see each other that well. She may have thought, "I can't see." You know, sometimes we don't know what somebody's reaction is going to be. Maybe she's thinking, "You know, I don't know what he's going to do." But he gives her this assurance. He says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And likewise, Christ gives you and I that same assurance. Christ assures you and I. He gives us that assurance for the present, because He is our Redeemer, because of that relationship. You know, there are times where your circumstances will tell you, "Be fearful." Where your heart will tell you, you know, "Be fearful." Where things going on in your life will tell you to be fearful. But the Lord says, "Do not be afraid because of your Redeemer." Don't trust your feelings or your circumstances, but trust in the Word of God. Trust in the promises of God. Believe that you are to Him who He says you are, that you are dearly loved, that you are precious to Him, that He cares for you. Over and over again in Scripture, the Bible says, "Don't be afraid, fear not," repeated again and again, often as a command, because God doesn't want you to live in fear. He wants you to live in faith, to look to Him and to trust Him. Boaz reassured Ruth. In verse 12, "Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of your family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, If he wants to do his duties regarding Redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he's not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning. You know, although Boaz was a kinsman redeemer, he recognized that there was someone near that would be considered. But he offers this assurance to her. He says, listen, whether it's this relative or I promise you, I will see to it, you will be redeemed. It's going to happen. You know, that is real love, and that's the assurance that God gives you and I about our future. You know, like that reassuring voice in the darkness speaking to Ruth, God speaks to us in dark times. And he reassures us through his word and his promises. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, God's word says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. You know, how many times in your life have you woken up maybe fearful, not even knowing why sometimes, and you go to the word of God and you open, often for me, to the book of Psalms. And you begin to read, and the Holy Spirit just brings it to life and just washes that fear away as you look at the promises of God. The Lord reassures us through his word and his spirit. One of the wonderful ways that God's word reassures me is just bringing to life images that I read about Jesus. You know, I'll read a passage that just communicates the sovereignty of Christ over my life, or his grace, or his justice, or his wisdom, or his power, and it just deals with my fear. You know, washes my fear away as I see Jesus as so much greater than whatever it is that's coming against me. I was reading about Alexander the Great, the Greek king. If you don't know much about him, at age 18, he was a general who was pretty much unstoppable. Victory after victory. By age 20, he replaced his father as the king of Macedonian Empire. Only lived to, I think, age 32, almost 33. Conquered much of the known world. But I read a story about him, the one to share with you. His father, Philip of Macedon, was also a great military leader. He was a genius. And when Alexander was very young, he and his father went to look at this horse. And there was a man named Philonicus, who was from Thessalonica, who had this horse. It was a powerful war horse. And he was thinking of selling this horse to Philip. And they went to look at it, but this horse was known to be very vicious. It was a very powerful, large horse, but also no one could ride it. So in order to display what a great, powerful horse it was, they brought all these great, skilled, powerful riders to come and to sit on this horse so they could ride it in front of Philip, and he would see, I want to buy this horse. This is a wonderful horse. And nobody could stay on the horse. And Alexander, as a very young teenager, actually realized something. As he watched what was going on, he saw that any time the horse was turned away from the sun and saw its shadow, that's when it would kind of freak out. And he realized, this horse is afraid of its shadow. And out of fear, it's not letting anybody sit on it, because whenever it turns and it sees its shadow, it's kind of freaking out and just getting violent. And so he had this idea. He went over to the horse and he turned it to the sun. And he mounted the horse and took off towards the and rode the horse until it calmed down and felt that it was safe. And he realized that as long as he was going towards the sun, as long as there was no shadow, the horse wouldn't be afraid. And Christ is like that for you and I. As we read the Word of God and the Lord reveals the person of Jesus through his Word, that we see the sun, S-O-N. And everything else, all the shadow falls behind and all the things that we're afraid of. And as long as we are fixed on the Son of God, we don't have anything to fear. It's when we take our eyes off of him and we turn another direction, that's when the fear starts welling up in us. But God assures us, and he reassures us through his word and through the revelation of his Son. Continuing here in verse 14. So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor. He's protecting her honor here. He also said, bring me the shawl that you are wearing and hold it out. When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, how did it go, my daughter? It's interesting, if you read that verse in the King James, it actually says, who are you, my daughter? Which actually is a more literal translation. In the text there, it says who. It literally says who. And I think what she's getting at is, are you the new Mrs. Boaz? In the Hebrew, that's what she's saying. How did it go? Are you Ruth the Moabite, or are you Ruth who's engaged now? And she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, he gave me 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Boaz accepted Ruth, and he reassured her that she wouldn't be afraid. And then we see that Boaz replenishes her. He gives her this grain. This is like 2 weeks worth of grain that he's given her. In the same way, when we come to Christ, he replenishes us. When we draw near to the Lord in humble faith and submission and obedience, he replenishes us with his goodness, with his grace, by his Holy Spirit. I was reading a story told by Dr. Tony Evans of a time when he and his wife Lois were in New York City, and they're from Dallas, and this is many years ago, like 19 years ago, I think, but they were in New York City and wanting to go back to Dallas, and in 2003, there was a huge blackout. Do you guys remember that? Like the whole eastern part of the United States, the power grid failed. And if you recall that, well, they were actually at LaGuardia Airport when that happened and wanting to get on their flight to go back to Dallas. And Tony Evans said that he noticed that the line was going nowhere. And they stood there about 30 minutes and realized, like, something is really wrong here. And so they went up to the counter and they said, there's no power anywhere. Like, there's no flights going out and they're canceling everything. And so Dr. Evans got on his phone and he called his sister and he said, hey, can you start calling around right away? Try to get us a hotel because we're not going anywhere. And he said, like 30 minutes later, his sister called and said, I got you like the last hotel probably in the area, the last room available. So they went to this hotel room and they checked in. And Dr. Evans said that it's in August, so it's really hot. There's no air conditioning. There's no meals being prepared, so they're not going to have any food. They're not going to have any, you know, much lighting to speak of. It's miserably hot, and they are just, you know, don't have much to do. They're just going to wait and see what happens. But he said he opened up the curtains on his window. It's getting dark, and he looked across the street at the Marriott, and it's lit up like Christmas. And he's like, what in the world? He's like, that's crazy, because all of New York, like, there's no lights anywhere. Everything is in the dark, except the Marriott, and they're just totally lit up. He said there's people outside on the patio laughing and having fun and eating meals together, and he's like, this is crazy. So he told his wife, Lois, he said, I've got to see what's going on. And so he went over to the Marriott, and he said he found a manager, and he said, I don't understand. He's like, how is it that you guys are sitting in the air conditioning inside, and your people here have hot meals, and like everybody's having a great time, and why is this? And the manager said, well, when we built this hotel, we built this with a huge gas generator that could power the whole hotel. And he said, because we've got a power source on the inside to give us what we need, we're really not dependent on what's going on the outside. And Dr. Evans said, you know, what a great picture of our life in Christ. That Christ has given us the Holy Spirit to replenish us so that you're not dependent on what's going on the outside. You're not dependent on what's happening with your family. You're not dependent on what's happening with your job. You're not dependent even on your health. You're not dependent on what other people think of you. You have a life source within you, the Holy Spirit, that can give you joy and hope and peace that nothing in the world can diminish or take away from you, because you have that life within you that's not dependent on anything else and that's greater than anything else. You know, when Christ redeemed you, he not only accepted you And he not only washes away the fear, but he gives you himself in the person of the Holy Spirit so that you can rejoice, that you can walk out the Christian life lit up like a Christmas tree with joy that makes people wonder, what in the world is going on with this crazy Christian? Everybody else is so downcast. Everybody else is so gloomy. Everybody else is so hopeless. Don't you know what's going on in our culture? And we can say, don't you know what's happening on the inside? In the person of the Holy Spirit who tells me I am loved and redeemed and I've got a Heavenly Father who's made wonderful promises to me in His Word. Don't you understand how awesome our God is and how much bigger He is than any darkness? In Philippians 4, another a favorite verse among many favorite verses, Philippians 4, 4, it is a command. It is emphatic. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. God doesn't make commands of us that we can't keep. We can rejoice always because we have the Holy Spirit. We have God's provision. We have this life in us. And because of that, you know, the Christian life, it's not lethargic. It's not just like sitting on the couch until Jesus comes back. He's given us good works, right, to walk in, a life of these good works He's prepared. But He's given us the Holy Spirit so that we're just along for the ride. You know, as long as we're just carried along by the Spirit and we are following the Word of God, we can actively rest in the Christian life. We can have peace and we can have joy and we can be replenished every day just by drawing near in faith to the Lord. Can you imagine how excited Ruth is at what's happening here? She's like, this is so wonderful. We're going to be redeemed. Boaz is going to be... I'm thinking she can't sit still, probably, you know? I mean, I remember preparing... For when Kim and I got married that day, I mean, I was pretty excited. And I don't know that I slept much the day before, the evening before. And it wasn't even a surprise. I knew we were engaged for a year, you know. I had time to be really settled, like, this is what's happening. This redemption and these promises are coming at her. I mean, she's got to be just, like, so excited. Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. For the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. She's saying, chill out. Calm down. Have peace. Because Boaz is going to get it done. He will see to it you're redeemed. He will complete what he said. His promise, his word to you is good. And in the Christian life, you know, we get so antsy sometimes, or at least I do. And God invites us into this rest as he just says, I'm going to see it through. You are redeemed and you are being redeemed and I will see to it. I will see to it. You don't need to strive and struggle so hard to try to do something that I'm doing for you. And he's faithful to do it. He's faithful. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul had God's faithfulness in mind in redeeming us. He wrote this in 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 23. You're welcome to turn there. Paul had just been speaking to the church about the completion of their sanctification and about persevering in the faith and how they will be vindicated for trusting in Jesus and speaking about the return of Christ. And there in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse 23, Paul says, my confidence, I'm so confident that this is going to happen. This fullness of your redemption is going to happen because Christ is faithful. He's going to accomplish it. This is when Deirdre comes and visits. This is one of her favorite verses. She quotes this a lot. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And that's what we see pictured here with Boaz and his word to Ruth. He is faithful. He will do what he said. Christ has made promises to you, and he is faithful. He will do it. You know, one of the differences with this relationship between Boaz and Ruth and our relationship with Christ is that Boaz says, everybody knows how noble you are. That with us, you know, we come into this relationship because of the noble character of our Redeemer. Because Jesus, our Savior, is so awesome. You know, our King is so great and so good. And He's the one who makes us noble. He's the one who makes us beautiful. He's the one who gives us worth and value. I was reading a story about a missionary teacher in Japan. And Japan is one of the least reached people groups in the world. And this missionary, who's a teacher in Japan, was approached by this Japanese woman. And this Japanese woman said, do you only allow beautiful girls to come to your school? And the teacher said, no, you know, we invite like any girl who wants to come to our school because they teach, but they also share the gospel. They share Christ. And they said, any girl who wants to come to our school can come to our school. And the woman talking to her said, well, I noticed that all the girls who come to your school all just glow. Like they're so joyful and they're so happy and they just, there's something beautiful about them. And the teacher said, well, that's because of Jesus. That's because when they come to our school, we tell them about the Redeemer who loves them and that died for them. And it changes them. It changes them. There's something on the inside that you see on their face that's beautiful. When we spend our lives identifying with Christ, and we understand that in the present reality and for all of eternity that we are bound to Him, there is a joy and there is a peace and there is a beauty. There's a beauty that comes from Him that makes us beautiful. I'm going to pray for us, and worship team, you can come up when you're ready. Father, thank you so much for this picture in your word. That points us to our Redeemer, Lord. Thank you, Father, that even though you are a sovereign King over all of your creation, God, that we can approach you with confidence and acceptance, and that you receive us based on the blood of Christ, that we are accepted and invited to draw near to you, and that you reassure us again and again of your love for us. God, thank you for giving us yourself and giving us your Spirit. Thank you for replenishing us each day. God, thank you for the joy of being redeemed. Thank you for the joy of being redeemed, Lord. Thank you that no matter what else is happening in our lives, that we can say, yes, this is going on in the world, and this is going on in the lives of people I love, and this is happening to me, but I've got an awesome Redeemer who is sovereign over all of these things, and He loves me, and He has made promises to me, and He is faithful. That we can rejoice in You and glorify You by believing You, by taking You at Your word, and we can call upon that name which is above every name, the name of Jesus. God, we thank You. Thank You for Your presence with Your people, Lord, and we pray. Help us to joyfully, with celebration, Lord, today, to have that beautiful glow of those who know Jesus. That maybe people who don't know you yet would look at us and say, what's with that beautiful smile? What's with that happiness? And we can tell them about Jesus today. God, we love you and we praise you in your name.